Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be talking about this hot topic, experience. Is human experience the ultimate test of truth, the ultimate test of God's truth? Now, this is a very hot topic because, unfortunately, throughout Christendom today, you see this idea being taught that human experience, subjective experience, is the test of God's truth. I hear that taught constantly. And you need to understand something. That's heresy. Well, wait a second, Andrew. How can you make that statement? What are you? You're the only one who's right and everybody else is wrong. I'm not saying that everybody in Christendom teaches this, but let me just break it down for you so you understand what this question is. Do you believe that God's truth actually becomes God's truth once your human experience validates it? Hopefully you're shaking your head no and saying, no way. Exactly. God's truth is God's truth regardless of our human experiences, right? God's truth is God's truth whether somebody believes it or not, because God's truth is his external, objective, propositional truth that comes from God to us, right? God's truth has nothing to do with us and everything to do with God. In fact, in Psalm 119, verse 89, the psalmist declares, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Do you see it? Your word is settled in heaven, meaning that God's word is eternal. God's word is permanent. God's word originates from God, and God's word is settled. No other influence, including human experience, can validate God's word, change or twist God's word. Human experience has nothing to do with the veracity, the truthfulness of God's word. And we've got to be very careful here. For instance, go to Revelation 22. Very last book of the Bible, very last chapter of the very last book in the Bible, very last paragraph in the last chapter in the very last book in the Bible, God gives a very, very clear and sober warning. In verses 18 and 19, God says, "I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him or her the plagues written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book, of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book." Do you see what God is saying here? God right here is making a very clear statement. No new revelation outside of this book, the finished closed canon of scripture. Because God says right here, if anyone adds to this, oh, if anyone takes away from this, oh, God is saying that's it. No new revelation from God. Now, there are people who will, based upon their human experience, ignore this very clear warning from God. What do I mean? I've heard people say, hey, I was praying to God, and suddenly God spoke to me. Not while they were reading the scriptures. They claim that God spoke to them. Maybe it was an audible voice. Maybe it was a strong, internal, subjective feeling. But people like that are so certain they heard from God. And therefore, and maybe what they heard or and they think is from God, maybe at least in that particular instance, whatever it was, ended up coming true. And based on that human experience, those people will completely ignore what God says here at the end of Revelation. And instead, they will say, based on my experience, God continues to give new revelation. In other words, their experience is the test of truth. And therefore, what they'll say here in Revelation, that's not true. Well, wait a second. It's written right here. Well, yeah. But based on my experience, do you see it? So what happens is people place their experience above God's truth. And as long as God's truth matches with their experience, they say, okay. But they put human experience above and in the position of authority of evaluating God's truth. That's what I said earlier. That's heresy. God's word is God's authoritative, inspired, once for all time given word of truth. It is God's written revelation. Again, it does not originate from within us. It is not some sort of internal, subjective, mystic feeling. God's truth is outside of us. God's truth does not originate from within us. God's truth comes to us from God. This is the word of God, the voice of God, inspired by God. And God's truth is not based on whether or not our human experiences agree with it, or whether our feelings validate it. God's truth is God's truth regardless of us. There were some German teachers in neo-orthodoxy who liked to say that God's truth becomes God's truth once a person believes it. Do you see the problem with that? God's truth becomes God's truth once a person believes it? Well, what does that make the person? The authority. What does that make God's word? Subservient. And again, as we saw in Psalm 119, verse 89, God's word is settled in heaven, meaning it's God's word, whether somebody believes it or not. It is God's word, whether our experiences match up to it or not. And so back to the example, when somebody says, well, you know, God spoke to me, and again, outside the scriptures, because we do teach that we do hear the voice of God. How? In the word of God, right? Where's that written? John chapter 10. It's very clear. The words of Jesus himself. Verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, for I and the Father are one. So Jesus says that his sheep, by the way, John 10, verse 14, Jesus makes it very clear that, verse 11, I'm sorry, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep, the elect. And Jesus says, my elect hear my voice. Well, how do we hear the voice of God? Chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus says, he who is of God hears the words of God. And Jesus said to the religious leaders, for this reason, you do not hear them because you're not of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that the Holy Spirit not only regenerates a person, the elect, but also, once a person is saved, illuminates the scriptures to believers so that we can understand more and more the deep things of God. And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, scripture declares that we have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? Well, it's very clear in this context that Paul's talking about the Word. So here it is. We have the mind of Christ. Everything that Christ wants us to know about Him, we have the mind of Christ. And as Christians, we are His sheep. We hear His voice. Where? Here in the Word. His Word, by the way, which has already been given. His Word, by the way, which is final, which is authoritative, which is settled in heaven. Now, when somebody says they hear the voice of Jesus outside of the Scriptures, they're clearly going against what Scripture says. Right? Again, Revelation 22, God says, do not add, do not take away from this book. Well, if God is speaking to people today outside the Scriptures, that means God is going against the very Word He inspired. And we know God is not a liar. God's will never contradicts God's Word, right? Well, wait a second. So-and-so claims that he heard the voice of God outside of Scriptures, and that which he says God told him to do, he did, and this was the good result of it. Therefore, so-and-so says, God still speaks to people today outside of Scripture. Do you see what that person just did? That person made his experience the ultimate test of truth. Do you see it? And friends, once you open that door, all kinds of crazy stuff is taught and occurs. For instance, several times I've been involved in premarital counseling where the couples were so certain that God had brought them together. They had prayed and prayed, which, by the way, is a good thing. They had taken the necessary steps. They went slow and ended up in premarital counseling with me. And things looked great. They were married and they were determined that their Christian marriage was going to bring glory and honor to Christ. And then 6 months later, one of the spouses comes to me and says, I'm filing for divorce. Why are you filing for divorce? Was there adultery in the marriage? No. We know what Scripture says. Well, why are you filing for divorce? Because I'm not happy. Well, wait a second. God wants us to be obedient. God wants us to be holy. And happiness comes from, contentment comes from our submission to God's Word. And you know that you don't have biblical grounds for divorce here. Yeah, but God has given me a peace about this. And I know I'm being led by the Lord to do this. That person has based his or her experience. I have peace about this. I feel like I'm being led by the Lord. That person is taking his or her experience, which, by the way, is subjective. It is intuitive, and it goes completely against God's Word. And yet, that person's experience becomes the test of truth. Nope, I have peace about it. I feel led by it. And guess what? I'm divorcing. So in other words, you're saying this subjective, intuitive feeling of peace that you say you have trumps God's already given truth about divorce? Do you see what happens? And so human experience becomes the ultimate judge of God's truth. And human experience and subjective feelings are all over the place, right? Like waves being tossed around by the wind. And it's a trap. We submit to God's truth as Christians because it's God's truth, whether we feel like doing it or not. Did you hear what I said? Because God's truth does not originate from within us, because God's truth is not based on our experience or our feelings, and because God's truth comes to us from God, we submit to God's truth, whether we feel like or not. Because God's truth is our authority, right? And so in that example of a person saying, well, I feel peace about getting an unbiblical divorce. I feel led by the Lord, even though it's an unbiblical divorce. A person in that situation needs to say, wait a second. My feelings or my experience does not stand in judgment of God's truth. I know what God's word says about this. And even though I'm not happy in this marriage right now, and again, you know, we're not talking about there was no adultery and there's no danger in the marriage of physical abuse or anything like that. It's just the person wasn't happy. And again, by the way, I'm not using just, this is not a specific example I'm thinking of. Unfortunately, I've had to deal with this very example on numerous occasions. And the excuse is always the same. God wants me to be happy. I feel peace about doing this. I feel led by the Lord to do it. Even though it goes completely contrary to God's word. What? So in other words, God is going to lead you to do something against his word? Come on. God's going to give you peace as you disobey his word? No. But do you see again? Experience becomes a test of truth. And there are people throughout Christendom who follow this. And again, you think about it, it's such a convenient out when you go, I don't know if I want to obey this command. And you just make experience trump the truth. And you justify it. Well, I have peace about it. I feel led by the Lord on this. And it's a trap. And so in the example of, you know, people wanting to get out of marriages quickly and this, that, and the other thing unbiblical, it's not one particular example I'm thinking of. Unfortunately, I've had to deal with this numerous times. And look, we all want to be happy, have peace, contentment. Of course we do. But many times, and you see the example in Scripture, God will throw us into the fire. Why? Because he sees things that need to be purged in us. And as Christians, even though we feel like immediately jumping out of the fire of purging, we feel like immediately getting out of the heat because it doesn't feel good. But as Christians, we know that God is not going to put us into the fire unless he obviously sees things that need to be purged. And what we need to learn is not to just quickly try to jump out of the fire. What we need to learn is how to bring him glory. Listen, yes, even in the midst of the fire. And I think you'll agree that as a Christian, your greatest growth often has occurred in times of greatest pain, greatest suffering, greatest difficulties. Imagine if you allowed your feelings or experiences to justify a way out of what God put you in. A way out that obviously went against God's word. Think of this. You would be trying to escape the very circumstances that the Lord has put you in to bless you and to make you more like Christ. Because here's what we do know. Romans 8, verses 28 and 29, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose for you, Christian? Verse 29, for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined. Why? Here it is. Here's your ultimate good. To be conformed to the image of his son. That is the good that God causes to work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so, when we allow experience to basically be the test of God's truth, we're going to go based upon intuitive, subjective emotions, which unfortunately very often cause us to disobey God's truth. And in doing so, we're running away from that which God is using for your ultimate good, Christian, to conform you into the image of his son. And so we need to get into the biblical habit of simply saying, this is God's truth. It is God's holy, authoritative, settled in heaven, trustworthy truth. And no matter how I feel in a particular situation, no matter my experiences, I want to, in the power of the Holy Spirit, submit to God's truth, not follow my intuitive, subjective emotions. Because I know the heart is deceitful above all things. I can trust God, and I can trust God's truth. And therefore, I'm not going to allow my experiences or my feelings to define truth or to be a test of truth. I am going to submit to God's truth regardless of my experiences, regardless of my feelings. And I'm going to trust that the God who saved me by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, is the God who will conform me into the image of his son, so that my life can bring glory to the triune God. You think of the great heroes of faith in the scriptures. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Think of Job. Think of the Apostle Paul. You imagine if they tested God's truth based on their experiences, whew. Think of their experiences. But you know what happened? How'd they survive? Because they knew God's truth is God's authoritative word of truth. And this was the anchor of their lives, God's truth. Regardless of the sometimes horrific experiences they were enduring. And oh, by the way, think of Jesus Christ. Think about what he experienced. And you want to show love to Jesus? John 14. Verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And Jesus promises, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Don't fall into the trap of allowing your experiences, your emotions, to be the test of God's truth. It is a trap, and it will dishonor God and cause you a lot of pain. Show love to Jesus. He tells you how. You have his word of truth and the power of the Spirit. Obey his word of truth and trust God with the results. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.